All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I am your host, Aaron Freeman, and today is part two of the ongoing conversation I had with Falcon fan Kai Hall with his conversation with Falcons GM Thomas Mitchell.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for years at FalcFans.com, on Twitter at FalcFans, and, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. Today is part two of the conversation I had with Kai Hall, stemming from Tuesday's episode, where we started off, you know, Kai started off talking about the conversation he had with Falcons GM Thomas Dimitroff, who called him up after he sort of sent an email to him saying that he was, I guess, fed up with the team and whatnot. And Thomas Dimitroff did a thing that he's never done before, which is he responded to a fan, had a very personal reaction. You can go back and listen to Tuesday's episodes to hear sort of Kai's thoughts on why Dimitroff decided, of all people, to respond to him. And listen to the first part of that conversation. Today we'll have the back half of that conversation. For full disclosure, this sort of conversation picks up sort of in the middle, where Kai starts to go into some of the reasons why Dimitroff and company chose not to necessarily be as adventurous, I guess you could say, with going out there and addressing some of the roster issues, given the Falcons' injuries that they've dealt with. And we'll pick up that conversation here or there in just a moment. But I do want to let you guys know that I also have some thoughts on this whole situation with Kai, so I hope you will stay tuned to the end of the show. It's a little bit of a rant about sort of fandom and whatnot. I'll touch upon a little bit of it before that, but I certainly want you guys to stay tuned to the end of the show and get my sort of thoughts on this whole situation. But we'll jump right into Kai's conversation with Thomas Dimitroff right about here.
So he was going through these lists of players. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, because you got media, you know, Falcons media, like a Scott Krasik, who will, as he did today, write an article and talk about, you know, the Falcons should consider trading for X player, and here's how the money will work. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, Thomas, you know how the money would work. You know you can go out and still trade for player. That's when he took it from the money aspect to, if we bring in someone right now, you know, and you get rid of someone, and you got to then you know, you talked about having to deal with that new contract or whatever it is in the spring. I don't remember his the specifics there, but he talked about money first. Then he talked about the cultural fit. Then that's when he really got into the meat of what our conversation revolved around, which is the cultural fit. And this is where I got a lot of questions answered, because he did not speak specifically about a player, but he did talk about this. And I don't know how some Falcons fans are going to feel about this, but Aaron, this is what he said. Okay. He said, could we go out and sign? I'm paraphrasing, by the way. Because, you know, this conversation happened Thursday, so I'm definitely paraphrasing, but the gist of it was, can I go out and sign any player off the street? Can I go out and sign A player, B player, C player, someone who just got arrested, someone who just had, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever? Can I go out and sign whoever to win championships? Sure, I guess, was kind of where he was going with it. But he more so talked about centering around the culture that he's created, as opposed to doing whatever he needs to do to just win a championship. And I got to tell you, that was hard for me to swallow, because I saw it as a fan. That's what it's all about. You got to go out and win championships. And, you know, I know Tyreek Hill had some, correct me if I'm wrong, had some issues coming out of college, or a major issue coming out of college. I don't know too much about it, so I can only say the word issue, but Kansas drafted him. And I'm not saying that they were right in doing so, but, you know, he's probably the most elusive elusive talent in the NFL. He's probably the most powerful weapon right now in the NFL, in my opinion. So having that been said, it was hard for me to swallow when Thomas talked about, you know, weighing out winning a championship versus building the sustainable long-term culture. So my question to him was, well, you came out of the system there in New England. And I said, you came out of that system in New England, and Bill Belichick has no qualms with trading for, at the time, a Randy Moss, who, you know, was a little edgy there playing for the Vikings. I'm talking about when he scored the touchdown and he mooned, you know, the fans. I said, you know, so you came out of that system, and Bill Belichick's not afraid to bring in someone like that. And then I pointed out, I said, and Bill just brought in Josh Gordon. And I said, you know the history that Josh Gordon has had there in Cleveland. I said, and then Les Snead, who came out of the Falcons system that and worked under you, is out here in L.A., and he's bringing in Ndamukong Suh, and he would have went out and traded for a Khalil Mack, and Khalil Mack has no off-the-field issues and no locker room issues. But my point is that he cost a pretty penny, you know, in terms of what it would cost to play for the team. But I said, so Les Snead, you know, I said, Les Snead has this kind of approach to bringing in personnel. I said, so how is it that you're so different? Because, you know, both have worked with you, and you've worked for one and the other worked for you. I said, so how is it that you're so different in concept? How is it you're so different in philosophy? And then that's when he went into, well, I did learn from Bill. My philosophy isn't mirror image to what Bill taught me, what I learned from Bill. And so my question to him was, well, who else have you pulled philosophy from? Because, you know, I see the Patriots doing something and it's churning out championships. Granted, Matt Ryan isn't a Tom Brady, but, you know, the culture is completely different. I said, so in that regard, but I said, so who have you drawn inspiration from as a leader? And he said, the first person he said, he goes, well, I just got off the phone with him. He said, like a couple days ago, 4 or 5 days ago, whatever. And I think his name is R.C. Buford. Is that the general manager? I know you just did a spiel for the NBA a little while ago, but R.C. Buford, the general manager for the Spurs, I think it's R.C. Buford. So he talked about being close to R.C. and learning from R.C. and gleaning from R.C. He talked about that. And then he talked about a cycling team in Europe called Team Sky. And there is an individual, and I can't remember his name, that has kind of spearheaded that team and built a winning culture. And he talked about kind of gleaning and taking inspiration and guidance from that organization as well. So those are two individuals, two entities that he's pulled from, you know, as a leader. And this has helped mold who he is as a general manager and the philosophy in which he kind of centers around. So, so I'm going to buy that book about Team Sky so I can learn more about him and I can learn more about the GM of the Falcons. But so he went through and he talked about, you know, a free agent or trading for a player must be a financial fit. You have to take into consideration everyone else you're going to have to pay, but also the cultural fit. And that was very interesting to me. And so I do not believe whatsoever that you're going to see the Falcons go out and trade for anyone, marquee player, potential Pro Bowl player between now and the trade deadline, which is what, October 30th,
yeah.
I think. I don't think you're going to see it happen. My personal opinion, based upon talking to Thomas himself, I don't think it's going to happen. Obviously, they're going to need to bring in a kicker, I think. I don't know how they're going to deal with that. But on the defensive side of the ball, I think you're going to kind of get what you got. More or less.
All right, well, so we're going to take a break from Kai's thoughts and retelling of the conversation he had with Thomas Dimitroff to plug the NBA side of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find a Locked On podcast devoted to all 30 NBA teams, as well as Locked On NBA with host David Locke, as well as Locked On Hawks with host Brad Rowland. Find that wherever you get your Locked On podcasts, including this one. your NBA team every day. And before we get a little bit further with Kai, I want to let you guys know about our newest partner, and that is Low Kai. If you haven't heard that name before, well, now you have. Add a little game day swag. Low Kai has your back with their new game day bracelet collection. I've never really been a big bracelet guy, but I've been rocking my Low Kai bracelet as of late. I'm really enjoying it, in part due to the message that Low Kai brings. This Low Kai bracelet comes in all 32 NFL teams' colors. It holds water from Mount Everest, the highest point on Earth, and mud from the Dead Sea, the lowest point. It's a daily reminder to keep that balance in your life between the highs and the lows, and I think that's certainly something that Falcon fans can take heed in. This is an awesome message that has helped me personally keep me focused through the times of both good and bad, and now I think it can for you. Since Low Kai is a new friend of the show, they're offering an exclusive discount of 25% off all their game day collection bracelets. Just use the promo code Falcons25 when checking out at lokai.com. That's LOKAI.com, and use that promo code Falcons25 in order to get 25% off any game day collection bracelet. You guys got to take advantage of this amazing deal.
So having that been said, I'm in the, you know, we're into the conversation about, we've been talking to him for over half an hour, and he had mentioned having to do something with his son. So he's going to have to go. We were talking when he was in his car, I think, but I told him, I said, Thomas, I want to let you know that when the GM of your favorite team, since you were a kid, calls you, you pay attention to that. And you know, you obviously, you need to be very grateful for that. I said, so you have my word right now. My wife and I are not going anywhere. We will remain Falcons fans. And he kind of laughed, and he was like, yeah. He goes, well, that's definitely not why I called you. He goes, I mean, I think that's awesome. He said, but, you know, it's not like I'm going to go to Arthur and say, hey, I called this guy. He wasn't going to be a fan. He's going to be a fan now. And, you know, we kind of laughed about it. But then I said, and this is where I got in trouble on Twitter. Then I said, well, Thomas, you know, we're not coming to the game this weekend versus the Bucks. I said, but I'm going to talk to my wife tonight, and we'd like to come out in December, either for the Ravens game or the Cardinals game there in Atlanta. I said, if we come out, okay, and by the way, Aaron, I dare anyone to get on the phone with the GM of their favorite team and not do this, okay? And not do this. I said, I don't have any shame, especially because he said yes. I said, if I come out, we come out, I said, we've seen people stand on the sidelines before games, like fans. I don't know how they do it, but we would love to do it. Can you make that happen? And he said, Kai, I'll definitely make that happen for you. He said, email me again when we get closer to December, and I will get you passes. I'll get you the, if you call it like pregame sideline passes or something like that. And that's it. That's it. I asked for it. He said, you know, and that's it. And I also told him that we would be attending the Rams-Packers game this month. Of course, the Rams sent us a lot of swag. And my wife's boss, who happens to be a season ticket holder of the Rams, found out about it. So he gave us 50-yard line front row seat to the Rams, behind the Rams bench this month. So we're going to go see Aaron Rodgers play. I told Thomas, so I don't feel like I'm stepping out on my team. But that was my experience talking to the general manager. And for me, it's like there's no other Falcons fan ever out of the millions that follow them on social media or out of the 70,000-plus that can fill Mercedes-Benz Stadium. No one can say they've got a call from the GM himself, talks for 40 minutes. And so I challenge anyone who experiences that to kind of hold their tongue like I did. And I caught some flack for, you know, someone called it spamming. Sure, I'll give them that. Spamming social or spamming media there in Atlanta to get the story out. But I have no shame in that, because yes, I want attention. Yes, I want people to know the story because it's incredible. So just like when I was writing for Blogging Dirty, or you know, just like someone creates a pod, just like when we were doing podcasts earlier this year for Blogging Dirty and we had incredible guests on, I want people to know that there's an incredible story. It doesn't mean that I'm a better human. It doesn't mean that I, you know, am more important than someone else. It means that there's an incredible story and I want people to hear it. So The Falcons are amazing. The next day, someone from the Falcons, is his last name pronounced Tabeek? You would know probably better than I would. Matt Tabeek.
Yeah.
I think he has, he called me the next day and, the day after I spoke with Thomas, and he said, I'd love to do an article about this. And I said, Matt, just real quick, I'm assuming you confirmed that all this is true, right? And he laughed. He goes, yes. He goes, I called our communications department and they confirmed to me that, it was in fact true. And so, hopefully an article is going to be coming out about it, so folks will know that I'm not crazy. So beat me up for wanting to root for the Rams. That's my own prerogative. I've given so much to this team, thousands of dollars, you know, countless hours of our time and emotions. If I wanted to try to root for another team, that's my deal. I didn't do a quid pro quo.
Quid.
Oh my God. I don't even know what it's called. I didn't do any of that. I didn't say, give me this and I'll do that. It had nothing to do with that. And if that's the way I communicated it on Twitter, that's completely my fault. But, yeah, Falcons fans did not take too kindly to me wanting to root for the Rams. And I definitely probably deserve to be blasted for that. But at the same time, if I want to, it's kind of my choice. So that's what happened. And now, look, had I not have done any of that dramatic stuff, I would not have had the opportunity to speak with Thomas Dimitroff on the phone.
There you go. Lots to unpack there, Kai. Yeah, I think I'm with you on the whole, if you wanted to root for another team, you want to root for another team. I mean, people act like, you know, most of us, I can't speak for everybody, but most of us made the choice when we were like 6 years old or 8 years old or 12 years old to be Falcon fans, and sort of people treat it as like, you know, that's a choice that you've made for life. And it's like, you know, what other decisions did you make when you were like 8 or 12 that you would necessarily adhere to for the rest of your life? Not very many. So it's one of those things where it's like being a fan, it's not like being a gang where you get jumped in and you're in that gang for life. And if you try to get out of that gang, you know, they're going to run a drive-by on your house or something like that. Like it's not that serious. So, you know, I would also sort of echo the sentiments. And, you know, I talked about this on the podcast last year when people were making a big deal about fans not being in their seats in Mercedes-Benz Stadium and not being loud enough, and how, you know, they're not fake fans. And you know, instead of going to the game and Instagramming photos and walking around the stadium, you should let real, quote unquote, real fans sit in those seats and be loud. And I think you're right. You mentioned the word sort of fan shaming or whatever. Like, you know, we're all fans of the same team. You can be a bandwagon fan and that's just fine. You can be a hardcore fan or whatever, however that term is defined by people out there, and it's the same thing. You're not better than anybody else. You know, there is no rules or anything like this code book or this handbook that you get as a Falcon fan when you decide, like Thomas Dimitroff sends it out. Here are the rules to being a Falcon fan. And Arthur Blank says you have to sign this in blood and whatnot. So I think people tend to take that stuff too seriously and whatnot, and you know, be a little bit open-minded. Like I will go after Falcon fans for bad opinions on the team, certainly, as people know.
I've seen it.
In terms of like, you're not a real fan type of stuff, I just think that's just nonsense or whatever. But, you know, you can be really smart and be a fan of the team. You can be really dumb and be a fan of the team. But whether, you know, the quality of your fandom is never something I question.
Well, I'm probably more so the latter, just with all the maybe drama that I created this week. And that's fine with me. I had a lot of fun doing it. And I got a story again that no one else can share. Yeah. I'll never watch another Falcons game the same way, you know, for the fact. And by the way, hats off to Thomas for being so cool to do something like this. I think it was an amazing gesture on his end. And so I'm very much appreciate it. And appreciate you for having me on today. And by the way, just for your listeners, I'm the one that was harassing you to get on today. It wasn't like you said, that's a really cool story, Kai. You got to come on and talk about it. I harassed you for the record. But nonetheless, I want to thank you for allowing me to share. And it was really awesome to be on with you today.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. All right. Time for another break to plug the fantasy football shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. Football, two shows, Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. where you can get all your updates on injury news and whatnot. Check out the second show, Locked On Fantasy Football, with host Vinny Iyer, where you get a new fantasy expert every day, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Find them wherever you get your Locked On shows, your fantasy team every day. And, I think some of those insights that you brought in terms of that conversation, in terms of the team sort of standing pat, not necessarily surprised to me. That's sort of where I thought the default would be. You know, it's a little disappointing to hear, but at the same time, I get it. You know, I thought I wanted them to sign Eric Reed, but I also knew it. You know, I think I can't remember the timeline of it, but it was basically like within 24 hours when they didn't, you know, when I didn't see across the newswire that they had tried him out, I was like, okay, this is probably not going to happen. And so ever since then, I think, you know, to add on to the last point I will make is, I think in the case of the next man up philosophy, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that some of the injuries the Falcons have had on their defensive side of the ball, and to a lesser extent on the offensive side of the ball, they have also drafted young players over the last couple of years that played those positions. And this opportunity represented an opportunity for them to get some of those guys reps that they wouldn't normally have had the starters ahead of them, the Keanu Neals, the Deion Joneses, et cetera, get them reps that they wouldn't have had with those guys healthy. So I get it. Like, you know, if the Falcons had, you know, an injury to Matt Ryan, God forbid, knock on wood. But it, you know, I don't think they would have necessarily been as willing to adhere to that philosophy and be like, hey, let's see what Kurt Benkert can do. You know, that sort of strategy, simply because they didn't have necessarily pieces. You know, they didn't have a DeMonte Casey, they didn't have a Riley, an Ola Kuhn.
Yep.
And, you know, some of these, you know, they wanted to see what Vic and Tack could do, and as well as and Schweitzer, et cetera. So I get it. You know, you don't necessarily have to agree with it, but at the same time, it's not one of those things where I feel like, as some people have over the last several weeks, been like, this is sort of dooming them this season. I just think, you know, I think they made a calculated risk. I think, you know, you can certainly argue that risk may wind up blowing up in their face, but I think at the same time, it's one of those things where, you know, though unlike, you know, one of the things I mentioned on last week's episode, one of the last week's episode was sort of the similarities between this season and 2013. And in a nutshell, I would say one of the differences between this year and 2013, or at least one of the potential differences, is that that 2013 season, I don't think the Falcons, including Dimitroff, really learned a lesson from that. They just sort of were like, oh, we got hurt and we don't really need to do anything different. My hope is that one of the reasons why it will be different this time is that they won't go forward and have the same level of complacency in terms of making changes to their roster this upcoming offseason. And so we'll just have to sort of wait and see how that plays out. But I think it was certainly interesting. Go ahead.
If I may, Aaron, and I was done until you said something that reminded me of something that Thomas said. And one of the last things we had talked about was, I said, Thomas, the season starts 1-4. So how do you as a GM, and then how do you as a GM recommend that I as a fan deal with a 1-4 start, where arguably you're looking at the end of your playoff hopes and we're not even out of October? I said, so how as a GM do you go about, you know, understanding or dealing with that understanding? And then How would you suggest that I as a fan deal with it? Because the team is 1-4. And I said, playoff hopes virtually out the window. I know that Vic Beasley mentioned something to Vaughn McClure, I think, on ESPN about that very same topic, which was the percentage, the small likelihood that they make it to the playoffs. Thomas told me this. He said emphatically, they do not for 1 minute think that the season is over. And he said, in terms of everything you're hearing Dan talk about, you know, to the media, and I pointed out that Dan has gotten up and a lot of talking, I said, but it's kind of the same stuff. He said, what do you expect Dan to say? He said, I was just talking to someone the other day in our communications department about the fact that Dan has to talk to the media like 4 times a week. This is what Thomas said. And he goes, it's not like he's going to get up there and pop off. he goes, but guarantee that he is. And he goes, you're a smart guy. You know, he goes, he's just as, I don't know if he's more frustrated, whatever terminology he used about the situation as we are staying. He said, but the locker room as is right now, the players on the defensive side of the ball, the locker room as a whole, they do not for 1 minute believe, and I can't speak for Vic Beasley based upon his comments yesterday or the day before to Von McClure, but he said the team as a whole does not believe for 1 second that this season is over. And, you know, if they have belief, I'll stick with them. Given that the team is 2-1 in the division, I think they're, 2-2 outside? No, they're 2-1 in the division, right? Mm-hmm. So given the fact that they're 2-1 in the division and they're doing so amidst all these injuries, I'm going to go ahead and call it right now on your podcast that they'll make it to the playoffs. I did it last year. I called it last year, and I was right around the same time, right after they lost to, I think it was Buffalo and Miami. I said they're still going to make it, and they did. I'm going to call it again this year. They'll make it.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that would have been a little bit of a bolder proclamation last year if you had waited till after that Patriot game to claim it, because they certainly did not look like a team on the verge of making the playoffs after that game. But no, it is one of those things where, like, it's one of the reasons from last season, because I was after the Panthers game when they fell to 4-4 and had lost 4 of their last 5. I was like, oh, this team is dead. You know, the only reason that they didn't lose to the Jets is because of, you know, some, I don't know, Josh McCown fumbling or whatever it was. And it was one of those things where I was just like, and they're done. And then they went back, came out and played really well against that Dallas team. And, you know, I still keep the door slightly cracked for the possibility that they, you know, they'll come out, hopefully find a way to beat these horrible Giants. And then, you know, they got the Browns and the Redskins coming out of the bye. And if they can rattle off 2 more wins, they'll be back at, like, you know, 4-4 or whatever the record is, and or 5-4, and be, you know, a team that now all of a sudden their playoff hopes are, you know, mathematically significantly better than what they appeared to be a week or so ago. So, it's a bold statement, certainly. I think they have still a long way to go before we can start talking about them being playoff team.
Yep.
But I think, you know, you could be, you know, a front runner in terms of discussing that right at this point when everybody else has sort of given up hope.
Yeah, I did give up hope 48 hours. Let's not, or 24 hours.
That's true.
Get that mistaken. Yeah. So, Aaron, man, you're awesome, dude. You're amazing. I want to thank you so much for having me on today, man.
Yeah, let the people know where they can find you on Twitter, where they can go through your mentions.
Where they can trash me, by all means.
And
Ikaika Hall. It's Ikaika Hall, Hall. That's my Twitter, at Ikaika Hall. So it's nothing to write home about. I, you know, talk about the Falcons, and it's not negative anymore, so it's positive, or I don't say anything at all. And I might talk about a little bit about my LA Lakers and Dodgers. So, but again, thank you for having me on, man. I really appreciate it. And by the way, I love what I saw a couple episodes of what you and Matt are doing with your other podcast as well, with the live there. And I thought that was tremendous too.
All right, I appreciate that. That's Falcon Central Radio. For those of you that don't know what he's talking about, you can check that out at profootballcentral.com.
If you don't know now, you know.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Aaron.
Kai, I appreciate this. Well, there you have it, guys. That's the conversation with Kai. And I have some thoughts. I know a lot of you guys don't necessarily agree with what Kai did or relate to what he did. And you've certainly voiced those opinions towards him. And you know, I've sort of seen some of you voice those opinions towards me when I basically came out earlier this week saying that this was a true story. You know, my perspective on this and why we've done this is I thought this was a pretty cool story. But let's talk about what he did. And contrary to what many people said, he didn't lie about talking Thomas Dimitroff. I think the people that have sort of characterized what he did was sort of auctioning off his fandom is not the right way of framing what he did. I think he was unhappy with the team, flirted with another team. That other team tried to woo him by sending him some free swag. And, you know, the team that he's been in a long-term relationship, so to speak, won him back with a frank and honest discussion with a call from the GM. I think that's how it broke down. But let's say for the sake of argument, he did exactly, you know, what people have accused him of having, auctioned off his fandom. And, you know, basically shopped himself to the highest bidder, and whichever team offered him the most swag would have been the team that he would have supported. But I asked if that's what he did, and again, he didn't do that. So what? You know, the response from many of you would be like, hey, Aaron, he broke the first commandment. Thou shalt not support any other teams before the Falcons. Well, I hate to break it to you guys. There is no first commandment to fandom. In fact, the only rule of fandom is that if you like a thing, then you automatically become a fan of it. I get loyalty, but it's not a necessary thing. You know, we don't do this when it comes to other fandoms. You know, if you like a TV show, you don't basically say, well, you have to watch every episode of this TV show for the next 8 seasons. If you vote for a certain party, it's not like, well, you have to vote for this party in every election for the rest of your life. Loyalty. If you're a big fan of horse racing and you like a horse and you're like, this is my horse, Secretariat or whatever, now you can only root for that horse in every other race and only the horses that are its genetic descendants for the rest of your life. You have to be loyal to that horse's DNA. You know, we've seen this shift in the NBA over the years where people are less team loyal and more player loyal. And you see this big surge of people that follow LeBron, for example, whether it's in Cleveland or Miami, now in LA. And you'll still see fights on NBA Twitter and elsewhere about, you know, people sniping at people. You're not a real Laker fan. You're just a LeBron fan or whatever the case may be. You'll see that constantly this year. But the point I'm trying to bring up is there are no rules, man. They're just the arbitrary rules that we just make up. And you know, you see this somewhat where Falcon fans, when a player leaves Atlanta, they'll stop rooting for that player. They'll start rooting against that player. Like, for me, I like Taylor Gabriel. I like Brent Grimes. I like Nate Stupar, etc. just as much now that they're playing for other teams as I did when they played for the Falcons. Right? Stupar's going to be playing against the Falcons on Monday night. And if he lays out Ito Smith, I'm going to be like, ah, Stoop life. Right? You know, but I get that attitude, that perspective is certainly not the norm when it comes to fans. And I recognize what Kai did is not something that many of you out there can relate to. I get it. I thought his story was pretty unbelievable. If I had only seen what he said on Twitter and nothing else, I know I wouldn't have believed him. Had he messaged me out of the blue one day rather than, you know, after a series of other conversations we had had recently, and messaged me out of the blue after not talking to him for 6 months or never talking to him, and he'd been like, hey, man, I just got off the phone with Thomas Dimitrov, I would have been like, you're not telling me the truth, man. So I get why people reacted the way that they reacted last Thursday when he tweeted those things. But now that people know that it's true, I'd like to believe that some of those people, many of those people, might say something along the lines of, hey, man, I didn't really buy what you were saying at first. I didn't believe you what you're saying, but I'm sorry, man. I don't necessarily relate to what you did and agree with what you did with the whole flirtation. I'm a loyal Falcons fan, but hey, man, it's a pretty cool story. That's, you know, what happened with you. And I'm sorry for labeling you and slandering you and attacking you and whatnot. And I presented that whole notion to some people out there and they were like, no, I'm not going to apologize for him. He's a fake fan. Even if he is telling the truth, he's a fake fan. He got what he deserved. And frankly, that doesn't sit well with me. Maybe I'm overly sensitive to this because over the years I've been labeled a fake fan or less than a fan by other people due to my various opinions. As a kid growing up in Virginia, I didn't know any Falcon fans growing up. Then my family got dial-up internet, you know, back in 1997. And it was the first time I was able to engage and interact with other Falcon fans online on various message boards. And, you know, you still see the strands of me just still doing that 20 years later. So if they ever made a biopic of me, you know, that would be the big moment at the beginning, 15 minutes into the movie, I guess. But anyway, you know, like today, I was opinionated back then in those days in the late 90s, early 2000s, and living in Virginia and then going to Pittsburgh for college. I didn't get an opportunity to watch every Falcons game. I'd see a couple, you know, between 1998 and 2004. But, you know, probably no more than 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 in any of those given seasons. But I still posted on those message boards. I still contributed to the conversation. I still provided my takes on what was going on with the team. Now, those were takes that some people didn't really agree with. And rather than sort of saying you're wrong because of X, Y, and Z, it was like, you're wrong because you're a fake fan. You don't watch all the games. You don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. And it sort of drove me away. And starting in 2006, it drove me to put more time and energy and effort into my own website, FalcFans.com. And has led, you know, me here. Those actions from other people has led me here to be the host of this illustrious podcast right now. And, you know, certainly part of my origin story, the whole idea of being a fake fan. And so it certainly rubs me a wrong way. And look, I have no qualms about calling out a person because I don't agree with their opinion, but I'll never try to attack someone because they're like a lesser fan than I am. And like, I always try to catch myself because too often when, you know, when I get into my sort of high horse about watching film, I think I tend to stray into that territory. And I'm like, I watch film and I'm right. And you don't watch film, so you're wrong. And I try never to be that person. But I'm a firm believer that if you're not watching the All 22, you're missing up to 70% of the game, you know, of what's really going on during the game. You're missing up to 70% of that. And it doesn't mean for the 30% that you do see that your opinions are wrong and you're just off the mark. But I think, it, you know, being a film watcher gives you greater context. I don't expect 99% of the people listening to me right now to watch film. I mean, that's why you listen to this podcast. But I do think watching film makes you a better analyst. And my issue is for the 20 plus people that cover this team for that blog or this website or this podcast or whatever platform they're on, the fact that only two or three of them are regularly watching the film sort of disappoints me. I think that number should be doubled, if not tripled. And sometimes I get a little riled up. I get very passionate about good analysis because going back to 2006, I looked around the world and saw subpar local coverage of this team, non-existent national coverage of this team. And I strove to fill that void of providing the good coverage that was sorely missing because this fan base is hungry. And I'm very passionate about that. And sometimes I don't think other people share that passion because I don't think they take the extra step that they need or should to go out there and actually devote time and energy to watching the film to get the best possible analysis. So I get very passionate about that. But I do have to constantly check myself so I don't fall into that trap of if you don't watch film, you're a fake analyst or whatever. So I'm definitely not perfect in that way. But the whole sort of mob mentality that went after Kai and the mob mentality that's proud of the fact that they went after Kai, that's not something that sits well with me. You know, it's the whole Adam Kaplan thing, an innocuous tweet about the Falcons being the healthiest team in the league, and now people go after him. You know, and this may be the most controversial thing I'll say on this podcast, but the whole, you guys remember Lindsay Okay, the lady that covers the Ravens. I kind of felt bad for her with the way the Falcon fans went after her. Like, I definitely don't agree or like some of the things that she said. She certainly said some deplorable things, but I felt a little bit bad that the way the Twitter mob went after her with the pitchforks and the torches out. And, you know, someone told me, like, I've been attacked online, Aaron. You've been attacked online, Aaron. It is what it is. That's what Twitter is for you. And that statement sort of really rubbed me the wrong way. I have been attacked online, and it doesn't feel good. And, again, I'm not perfect, but I'd never want to know that I, you know, be proud of the fact that I inflicted that feeling on somebody else. And I'm not speaking for Kai. I'm only speaking for myself here. But watching him get attacked and ridiculed and all because he decided for a couple of days that he didn't want to be a Falcon fan anymore, that doesn't sit well with me. And for a lot of people that I respected, particularly on Twitter and whatnot, to go after him and to have no remorse for going after him really does not sit well with me. And so for me, I'm going to take a break from Falcons Twitter. I'm still going to do my obligatory plugs. I'm still going to do the podcast, so don't worry about that. And I'm sure there will be tweets from me sharing my thoughts on the Falcons from time to time. Maybe this will last a couple of days. Maybe this might last a couple of weeks. Maybe it'll last months. I have no idea sitting here talking to you today, but I'm certainly disappointed with our fan base based off of these actions. And I know many of you are like, this is a weird hill for you to die on, Aaron. Maybe it is. But it's just sort of that toxic element of fandom that I've certainly been questioning a lot over the years sort of showed and reared up its ugly head, and it's not sitting well with me. Now, maybe I'm weirdly sympathetic to Kai because there have been moments for me over the years where I have seriously questioned whether or not I could continue to root for this team. And that's something that most of you can't relate to. But I'm sure there are plenty of you out there that have, that can relate to that and have sort of questioned whether or not you need to keep putting this much into this team that seemingly doesn't give back to you. Now, I stayed loyal, and here's the kicker, guys. So did Kai. Now, what brought him back to the fold isn't certainly something that brought me back to the fold or probably brought you guys back to the fold by getting that phone call from Thomas Dimitroff, you know? But it is one of those things where I think some people need to do some self-reflection and ask themselves, do they want to engage in that and be a part of that toxic element and be that sort of fan that's going to be exclusive to other people rather than being inclusive? And I'll certainly take this time off and do that same sort of self-reflection, and maybe I'll change the way I approach things. Maybe I'll be less critical and think about the ways that I criticize and say things about this team or this player or whatever, and my approach to things. And that's what I'm going to do. You know, maybe I'm the crazy person out there. I feel like I'm the only sane person in a room full of crazy people, but maybe the opposite is true. And if it is, I'm more than welcome to hear what your guys' thoughts on it. By all means, send me an email, lockedonfalcons@mail.com. Tell me what your thoughts on this whole situation is, my reaction to it. Maybe I'm overreacting to it. I don't know. I would love to hear what you guys have to say about it. So go ahead, send those over to me. But that's it. And we'll be back tomorrow with another podcast. It'll be a fan talk. And we'll be back on Monday with a potential preview, as well as Tuesday with a rapid reaction to that Monday night game. So that's what, again, nothing's going to change about the podcast, but you just may not see me tweeting it that much. I'll do other stuff, you know, with my days. So there you have it, guys. Until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.